Why go to all the trouble of experiencing the great outdoors for yourself when you can listen to a few Northwest outdoor experts yap about it? This is the Three Rivers Marine Outdoor Line with Tom Nelson and Joey Pyburn on Seattle Sports. The Outdoor Line is brought to you by Yamaha, Sportco Outdoor Emporium, Duckworth Boats, Roy Robinson RV, Kitsap Marina, Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning, Ray Marine, and Les Schwab Tires.
Welcome to The Outdoor Line, Seattle Sports Station 710 in the Seattle Sports app. That's Joey Pyburn. Matt Nelson running the board. I'm Tom Nelson. So, no secret that hunting and fishing are an absolute way of life for us and so many of our fellow Washingtonians. And it's good to know that WDFW is here to encourage these activities. And, you know, we need some evidence of that every now and then. And so when our dear friend Kelly Reardon of WDFW pinged me this week and goes, all right, Nelly, hey, listen, we need to talk about R3. I go, what's R3? Here to tell us all about the R3 program is the R3 coordinator for WDFW, Kelly Reardon. Good morning, Kelly. How are you, man?
Morning, buddy.
Good morning, Tom. How are you guys doing this morning?
We're doing good. We're doing good. The floor is yours. What is R3, and why should Washington hunters and anglers be comforted and encouraged by this WDFW initiative?
Well, in your opening statement, Tom, you said, what is R3? And I have been on this awareness campaign to get out there, get the word out. R3 stands for Recruit, Retain, and Reactivate. It's a program that we adopted as part of our 25-year strategic plan. Basically, we want to increase hunting, fishing participation across Washington State. I want to make it visible. And one of the things that I've noticed is there's not a lot of visibility, and I'm here to change that. Now, along with the visibility, we want to build a strong, diverse hunting community that may not be as traditional as you think. You know, you and I talked earlier about kind of our demographic, age demographic. And, you know, it's not just the kids that we're going after. It's everybody with a big focus on like 25 to 40 year olds. You know, there's a good opportunity to talk to those folks out there, too.
Well, and those folks are kind of in that age range of folks that are having kids.
Yeah.
And you and I talked about that last night, Kelly, that, you know, obviously we have a bunch of programs where we get kids out and get kids involved. But, you know, we get some parents involved, and guess what? That trickles down to the kiddos, and then it becomes a way of life for the family, which I think, you know, that's what we want to see. We want to see this tradition passed on from parents to the kids to those kids' kids and right on down the line.
Right, right. And I agree with that. And, you know, it's a fact that our hunters and anglers are aging out, and the new generation needs to come in. It's aware. We all are aware of it, and we need to pass this down, pass it along. And the state has given me the green light. We are open for business. Let's get this ball rolling. I'm going to run with this as the R3 hunting coordinator. I have a partner who's the R3 fishing coordinator. His name's John Pahutsky. And we have a set of goals for the 2023-2024 year. And, you know, I look at this list, and I mean, it kind of looks overwhelming. You know, every time you get a new work plan, you're like, wow, you know, but there are some awesome things, you know, promote organic, sustainable source protein. We all do that. You know, those of us who are seasoned and experienced, we know that. And there's stages of a hunter. You know, you start out, you want to go out and just give it a go. And then you want to get your limit. And then you want a trophy. And Joey, you and I were talking, we're circled back. We want to take people out now. And that's what I want to do. I want to get everybody out there. Get them into hunter education instructor recruitment, you know, get kids out, get people out. It doesn't matter. I'm open to business for everybody.
Yeah. You know, the circle back thing is like you said, you start out your hunting career, your fishing career, and you're just happy to catch something, you know, and bring something home. And then as you get more experience, you're, you know, like you said, now you're limiting out, or you're getting a deer and maybe an elk or a bear, or you're very successful at waterfowl hunting. And then you get to a point where, you know, it's actually more fun for me to take somebody out, whether it's a kid or an adult who just hasn't done a lot of fishing or hunting, and watch them through their process of getting to experience what we've been doing our whole lives, and we know how like how fulfilling this lifestyle can be. You know, the food, the accomplishment, and you and I were talking about it. You know, I still love to go hike into a high lake and catch some cutthroat, and I'll be driving down the mountain after hiking 15 miles to go catch my limit of cutthroat, and I just feel like Superman. I'm like, dude, this is so awesome. Like, and, you know, imagine me. I've been doing this my whole life. Imagine some, you know, 25 to 40-year-old person who's never done this before, and it's all out there.
You get to experience somebody's first experience and see it reflected in their eyes, Kelly. And it's very, right. very rewarding. And so that's kind of why I'm excited for you and your new role and talking to you about this program this week. And the fact that, you know, you are passionate about it and you can make a difference in a lot of these young hunters and of course, the angling side of it, we're going to talk about later, too. But uh-huh. you know, the first evidence that I've seen of this is that First Turkey program or to get some kids involved. You had, mm-hmm. what did you have, 30 slots in that? And they just evaporate.
It was gone immediately. Yeah. You know, last year, Aaron Garcia put this program on for a first turkey hunt with the First Hunt Foundation, and we'll talk a little more about that. And it was a good camp. It was successful. And we opened it up this year, and it was just bonkers. I mean, we filled up. We even expanded a little bit. We have this fantastic camp up in Newport this year, April 20 through 23rd. We're going to take some new folks out hunting. We're going to give them the opportunity, show them the tools, show them hunter safety, show them how to clean the birds. I mean, from A to Z, and even know how to clean it, maybe even how to cook it, and try to keep that going with them beyond just this first hunt. We want to keep that contact beyond that as well.
And then they're going to go out and they're going to recruit other folks and show them what they've learned. And then hopefully this ball gets a rolling and we get way more hunters and anglers in this state.
So, you know, we're talking with Kelly Reardon. He's the R3 coordinator for WDFW. R3 is recruit, retain, and reactivate some hunters that maybe Correct. Have been less. I got one in a row, Kelly. I got one in a row, right? But seriously. So what are some of the other ways we're going to see this R3 program manifest itself as we move into closer to hunting season this year, Kelly?
Well, and you and I talked about it a little bit as well, Tom. You know, when I first took this role on, I thought this was going to be about, you know, putting on clinics, which it is, but it's also about awareness. It's about touching, you know, the new technology out there, you know, using digital marketing, using these virtual resources that the older generation may not be so accustomed to. But when we're reaching out to this younger generation, we have all sorts of things like create adult-only hunter education classes. You know, identify more opportunities for mentored hunts. That's a huge thing. Joey and I talked about it extensively with this mentored hunt. We're going to put on mentored hunts. We're going to create our own program. We're going to work with the First Hunt Foundation, which is a national organization that does solely mentored hunts, and they do a fantastic job at it. And in fact, it's awesome. Washington has the largest amount of hunt mentors with this First Hunt program, and that's across the nation. And Washington has that response. So we're really kicking it in the backside on this and doing really well.
One of the best things you can possibly do for a kid is get him outdoors. I mean, and especially this day and age, Kelly, where people are absolutely surgically attached to technology and their phones and everything else. We need to communicate to particularly our younger population that phones are not the real world. The cities aren't even the real world. The real world is found in that part of the state that's away from all this, away from cell phone coverage. And one of the most wonderful things about hunting and about seeking animals are the places that the animals force you to go to hunt them. That's the real gift, is being on the mountains, being in the marshes, being in the woods, being in the upland fields. And away from that, where your mind can become quiet and your inner predator, those little inklings that are just absolutely drowned out by technology, you can't find yourself in your phone. You need to go find yourself outside, Kelly. And that's why I'm happy for you to be able to do that and show kids that there is a world outside of technology.
Yep. And yes, I agree with you on that. but also integrating technology into this is going to be a huge part.
It is.
Accepting that.
We all use online mapping. Yeah, we all have Onyx on our phone or Go Hunt on our phone. And I have pretty much all of them on my phone, and I use them all the time. It's a great tool, and it's kind of a selling point to folks.
It is.
Right? It's like, hey, look, there's all this cool technology you can use in your phone, and it's going to lead you to, you know, lead you up the mountain and lead you back safely. So,
sure. Yeah. And that's part of the R3 plan as well. You know, I want to leverage existing partnerships, and I want to reach out, you know, not just to NGOs, to manufacturers, to businesses. I've been given the green light to do so, and I'm going to do it. We're going to work with everybody on this one, and we do need to kind of bring in everybody.
Well, it's in all our best interest to bring everybody in and get more people involved. You know, Tom says it all the time. You don't care about something that you don't experience or you don't have passion about.
You absolutely cannot care about anything you don't experience.
Yeah.
And we need more kids to care about our habitat, our hunting animals, our fisheries, and everything else. And I definitely applaud this effort on behalf of the department, Kelly. And I appreciate you jumping on board this morning and telling us about it, dude.
Yeah, and for more information on that, you know, you can go to the WDFW website, wdfw.wa.gov, and we also have a kind of a new landing page. It's called mywdfw.com, not gov, and we're starting to do some blog series on that as well. And also wanted to give a quick shout-out to our statewide trout derby. Is that okay?
Please do, man. Yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, you know, in my old role, we went out and talked to our licensed dealer group, and businesses donated huge amounts of money and prizes to the statewide trout derby. We have 876 prizes right now, totaling over $42,000, and from 77 different businesses. We have a canoe this year that we're going to put into the derby.
That's cool.
You catch a tag trout, you might get a canoe, you know.
I like it. Well, Kelly, keep in touch and let us know how this goes. I mean, there's a bunch we didn't get to, you know, with regard to special permit applications and everything else. I mean, To really, you know, get somebody a great chance at a first animal, that's a really important part of the process. And we hope to have you on before the special permit deadline pops, and maybe we can, you know, reboot this one more time. But Kelly Reardon, the R3 hunting coordinator for WDFW, we appreciate your time, and stay in touch, my friend.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, Kelly.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon, man. Appreciate it. Coming up next, the critically acclaimed award-winning Northwest Outdoor Report right here on the Outdoor Line. Seattle Sports Station 710 on the Seattle Sports app.
The Northwest Outdoor Report is brought to you by Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning. Your family's comfort has been our family's business for over 50 years.
The CQ winner Chinook fishery kept up a fair pace this week with 20 boats checked, reporting 23 Chinook on Thursday. WDFW estimates that through March 12th, the sport fleet is only 10% through the 4,200 sublegal Chinook encounter guideline. A few larger unclipped kings entered the catch this week as well, primarily from the caves west to Kadaka Point. The usual suspects produced again this week, meaning red label herring or raised baits, anchovies behind a flasher, and other boats scored fish on artificials as well. Keep in mind, you have a shot at larger incoming early spring Chinook in the near shore waters, but the more numerous immature Chinook headed to the ocean will be found offshore under the birds in the deep water bay and on the bottom. Make sure you call ahead to Olson's Masons for moorage and accommodation. Chinook and Marine Area 5 is scheduled to run through April.
WDFW Shellfish Managers announced that razor clam digging reopens at Capella Beach Friday, March 17th, followed by opportunities there on the 19th and the 21st. This is in addition to Moke Rocks and Twin Harbors digs on Saturday, March 18th, 20th, and 22nd. These digs coincide with this weekend's Ocean Shore Razor Clam and Seafood Festival. Marine toxin levels on Long Beach are still too high for reopening, but WDFW is hoping that digging will return to Long Beach before April. Digs switch to morning low tides on March 23rd through the 26th, providing the first daylight opportunities of spring. Final approval of remaining tentative digs in March are dependent on marine toxin test results, so stay tuned and keep clam.
South Sound resident Coho and Cuddy report. Dave Dietrich from Adventure Angling in Tacoma says the Sea Run Cuddies are hammering chum fly, and the resident Coho are chewing the paint off the bottom of the boat in the South Sound. David said resident Coho, which are fair game to keep, are fat, chunky, and pushing that 20-inch mark and are only going to get bigger coming into spring. He says bring five fry patterns in various color combos every day, as the fish are going to hit something a little different depending on light conditions and wind. The chum salmon fry will continue to churn out of those South Sound creeks and big numbers for another month, making for amazing Cuddy and Coho angling. If you're looking to learn more about this amazing sea-run cutthroat fishery, give David a call at Adventure Angling in Tacoma. And stay tuned for his segment detailing this fishery coming up right after the break.
WDFW salmon managers met with the public at the first North of Falcon meeting on Wednesday, taking input and forming a proposed regulation package that was then presented to the tribal co-managers. While nowhere near finalized, the draft recreational package looks very similar to last year on Chinook, and possibly some liberalized non-selective coho seasons in marine areas 8 and 9 extending into September. This is great news for North End anglers that have been struggling with area closures and coho fin clip restrictions for several seasons. While the Stillaguamish Chinook abundance will again drive Chinook regulations, a downturn in Skagit coho stocks will likely result in a curtailed Skagit silver season. Next week, we'll feature several more opportunities for public comment, so hit the North of Falcon page on wdfw.wa.gov and get involved in the process.
Court finds Seattle City Light liable for salmon enhancement. The Skagit River Hydroelectric Project powers Seattle and was, according to an appellate court ruling this week, built on a 100-year falsehood. Over a century ago, Ross, Gorge, and Diablo dams on the Skagit were built on the claim that salmonids did not pass upriver farther than Diablo Canyon near the town of New Halem. And I quote, "The city's claims appear to be mere puffery," the Washington State Court of Appeals ruled Monday, referring to the Seattle's false branding of itself as having the nation's greenest utility. The issue at bar is that none of the city's three Skagit River dams have ever included a fish ladder, hatchery, or any mitigation whatsoever. The dams block 30% of the river, including pristine spawning habitat extending into Canada. All three dams are now up for relicensing, and Seattle has finally admitted that salmon should be allowed passage through the massive hydroelectric projects. Jack Feander, the Sauk Seattle tribal lawyer who brought the suit, was disgusted, and I quote, "It's a form of hypocrisy," he said. "There's a lot of look over there at that problem, but don't look at us," unquote. The case will now proceed to trial, and the Skagit River may receive its first rightful mitigation for 100 years of salmon and steelhead runs lost to the hydropower hypocrisy of Seattle City Light.
Special permit deer and elk tag applications offer you a chance to enhance your hunting season and get in on some special hunts that could get you a shot at your trophy of a lifetime. The bag limit is still one animal, but by using your choice of weapon, you can essentially triple your chances for success. Special hunting permit applications are available annually for deer, elk, mountain goat, bighorn sheep, moose, and wild turkey, offering fantastic quality hunting opportunities around the state. Why apply? You'll have opportunities to hunt outside of general seasons, increasing your odds for a successful harvest, enjoy less competition with a limited number of hunters in the field during your special hunt, accumulate preference points over time to increase your chances of being drawn. Hit mywdfw.com for more information, but you better hurry. Deadline for multi-season permits is March 31st.
The Northwest Outdoor Report has been brought to you by Bob's Heating and Air Conditioning. Now through the end of March, save 20% on all heat pumps and air conditioners at bobsheating.com.
The place to be for all things marine, the North Sound Marine Expo at Harbor Marine, April 15th, 2023. Join us April 15th for the first annual North Sound Marine Expo presented by Harbor Marine, where you're going to discover the latest and greatest in marine technology and innovation. Our team of experts led by Harbor Marine is dedicated to providing a comprehensive and engaging experience. Come see us April 15th. We're actually going to be doing the show live from Harbor Marine on April 15th. I'm going to do the shrimp seminar. You're going to do the ling seminar, kind of like what we did last year, but on steroids with a whole bunch of vendors. And they brought in a complete gill fishing apparel store. I mean, it's just crazy.
And Gill has everything. And if people are wondering why we're talking about Gill, Tom was wearing Gill bibs and rain gear pretty much all season last year, and you're still wearing it,
dude.
And it's been really, you know, quality gear. And I think I've been through three sets of bibs, not just because the gear was bad, but like I took a halibut gaff to the leg. But
it happens.
Gear, like,
we destroy gear.
We do.
We destroy gear on that boat. I mean, we run that Duckworth over 300 hours a year from Sitka to southern Washington, northern Oregon coast. And what we do with that big, heavy pots, commercial style crab pots, shrimp pots, halibut gaffs, harpoons, big hooks, all that stuff. And I actually stuck mine with a gaff, and I still can't find the leak. And it's Gill gear is the best stuff I've ever worn, and I've worn it all. So go check this out. They've got a complete shop of that down at Harbor Marine. But the cool thing about the North Sound Marine Expo is Sea Dog Line's going to be there, Jabsco's going to be there, Gill's going to be there, and there's just it Dometic. There's going to be a bunch of vendors and a bunch of giveaways.
Everything you need for your on the water adventures is going to be there.
So I gotta point out one more thing too. I love pokey. We're out with Shane Pacoa yesterday, and Shane told me about this new Hawaiian restaurant in Marysville. You got to go check this out. Go look him up on Facebook. Chriselle Ziohana. They're doing a fundraiser next Saturday. Go get involved with this thing. 514 State Avenue, Suite 106, Chriselle Ziohana in Marysville. It's the best Hawaiian restaurant that I've ever seen in the state of Washington.
And when a Paukoa tells you it's good Hawaiian food.
The poke bowls and their pulled pork. Oh, God. In fact, I'm going straight from here to there and get a poke
They're
bowl.
They're going to start seeing a lot of you.
Oh, they are, dude. I love Hawaiian food, no question about it. Their mac salad's ridiculous, too. All right. Let's go cutthroat and resident coho fishing with David Dietrich. You want to talk about somebody who's plugged into a light socket? Stay tuned. you don't even need coffee. Just stay tuned for the next segment here in the Outdoor Line. Seattle Sports Station 710, Seattle Sports app.
Get in, sit down, hold on, and listen up. You're in the RenaissanceMarineGroup.com's Wheelhouse, brought to you by Weldcraft, Duckworth, and Northwest Boats.
Welcome to the Wheelhouse here in 710 ESPN's The Outdoor Line. Did you know that of all the states of the nation, Washington has the highest percentage of water within the state territorial boundaries?
You told me that.
I thought that was so cool. It's like almost 18% of the state is water. Also happens to be part of my favorite part of the state.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Because nobody lives there, you see. And if you go to adventure-angling.com, you're going to find another interesting fact. Puget Sound is the nation's largest estuary. That's a real, real cool fact. And somebody that's really, really fired up about the nation's largest estuary is David Dietrich of adventure-angling.com. Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing?
Doing good, man. So, you know, there's all kinds of food out there for these awesome cutthroat trout that you're focusing on those trout. This time of year, you know, you got shrimp, you got herring bait fish, candle fish. What's on the menu for these little buggers right now?
Right now, they are primed more than any other time. They're focused on a singular food source, which is the outbound chum fry.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they are starting to show up here and there, but the anticipation is real for everybody. The trout are also right now, it's a perfect storm because they're uniquely aggressive because of their natural spawning cycle. So they're expecting this big push of very vulnerable food, and they're waiting for it. Winter's ending, spring is starting, they're really hungry, and they're also very aggressive anyways because they're going to be spawning, or they are going to be spawning. Or they are spawning now. But most of the spawning will take place in the next 30 days.
And so the chum fry hatch kind of coincides with their spawning the cutthroat spawning season, which is kind of perfect, right? They get all this amazing food, they put on some extra weight, and then they swim up all these creeks and have a bunch of little babies. And so tell us a little bit about what you've been doing down there. You know, how many fish are you catching today, and what are the size of some of these cutthroat?
So cutthroat are awesome. They're awesome trout. As I understand it, actually, this is cool, and I'm not a biologist, but everything I've read says the same thing, that every single species of trout in North America came from this one. It's like the specimen type for all trout in North America. It's really cool.
It's the OG.
It is the OG. The fishing, it's unbelievable right now. Like it is silliness. The rate of fish catching that we're seeing, the water's really clear. We have great tides that right now, exchanges that move the water. And we're crushing it. I mean, I don't want to say numbers on the air because people will, it's a little unbelievable. And people get angry because we catch too many fish.
Nobody ever got pissed at anybody that got skunked. You notice that?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. But when you catch fish, people will get mad at you. Yeah.
Yeah. They really. So anyways, this is why it's so cool though. I mean, it's really unique and like nothing compares in the world of fishing that I've encountered to the take of a streamer. That's a fly that we fish by casting it out and pulling it back in, simulating something swimming. But what's so cool about it, and this is so awesome, is what we're doing is we're casting it as close as we can to the shore to make it look like something that is really easy. You know, it's prey, but it's right where it's supposed to be in the area, the zone that's easiest for them to eat. So we put it right in that zone and we're swimming it out. But when you're fly fishing, after you cast, you have the rod pointed right at the line. So it's not really part of the take, ideally. So, and the line itself, when I say pointed at the line, I mean pointed at the line coming off the water. And the line itself goes over like your trigger finger that's also holding on to the rod. And you're pulling that fly line in over that finger, but behind it with your other hand. So if the fish touches the fly at all, you feel it both in your trigger finger and in the hand that's holding onto the fly line. The sensitivity is unmatched. So you're doing this, you feel a take, bam, you set low into the side and you get this awesome confirmation of this flash, 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 and this beautiful water. And then it runs 10 feet over, boom, gone. And you're like, what happened? And I'm like, oh, I'm not mad.
Yeah.
Just disappointed. Just don't ever let it happen again.
You need to yell at your dudes every now and then. You know, there's yelling and fishing. I think we've established that. But no, you got to coach them up. But it's interesting that you know you mentioned you strike low and to the side and not straight up.
My
and
God.
That's a big key. But you're set up for this too. I mean, you've got the boat for it. And are you a bow mount electric kind of guy to keep on the spot?
You're tugging on my heartstrings over there. You're doing it on purpose. I know it.
Well,
you know it.
It's part of being a good interviewer. When you have a subject that is not enthusiastic, you know, you've got to kind of sperm out of the chutes a little bit here. So
you are highly skilled, my friend.
fire away.
Yeah, dude, the electric is, it makes a big difference. And it takes a minute for guys to get adjusted to it often because typically when we fish for trout, we fish for them in fresh water. And the stuff that lives in fresh water doesn't compare.
Not even close.
Intensity wise to the stuff that lives in the salt water.
Not even close. There's so much more food in the salt.
That and there in the fresh water, if you're stripping streamers for trout, you're simulating like a scud or a damsel fly or a dragonfly or whatever, something that doesn't swim
fast
super well.
Yeah,
right. In the salt water, everything's amped, everything can swim, so the fish are super amped as well. Now this relates to the electric trolling motor because the electric trolling motor allows me to kill the big motor. So we're not stimulating their lateral line. We're not banging a bass drum with the big motor, the prop blades, vroom, 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 trying to control the boat.
Do you turn your subwoofer off on the Sirius satellite radio too? Is that
exactly, go off?
Exactly. Okay, all right, good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're real quiet and it allows us to critically target the moving water. So in that I'm able to target moving water, all the fish are pointed in the same direction. It naturally pods them up. and it allows us to fish and not worry about the boat so that I can get my guys fishing correctly for trout in the amped up environment that is the marine environment. Like everything has to be faster, more aggressive.
Mostly because a lot of stuff is scared in the marine environment, right? Everything right. is food there.
Dude,
so,
dude, the whole thing, when you're a little fish in the salt water, your whole goal in life is to grow as fast as you can so you fit in less other mouths. I mean, that's the whole ball game.
I mean, that is so well said. I like that. And
you can use
you
that,
guys
David.
Are giving away one of the secrets because I'm serious in that in the marine environment, I've just learned this, speed broadcasts fear. And fear is a trigger for predators. Like if I'm a little critter and I'm going slow, it's because I'm not afraid because I have fantastic defense mechanisms. If I'm going fast, it's because I know I need to boogie because everything's going to eat me. So I really pound that into my anglers. Speed, broadcast, fear.
Strip
Move
fast.
Yeah. The fly fast.
Speed.
Yeah,
speed
absolutely.
Speed is a feeding aphrodisiac. If you got to get
your
really, gear
really
has
is.
To play hard to get. You got to try to take it away from them. It's a lot what we do on the troll for salmon too, is to keep it moving because you're playing you're playing hard to get. You're trying to you're emulating escape behavior, and that's what triggers.
Yep. You're speaking my language. I'm picking up what you're laying down.
Well, it's so cool what you got going on there, and I love what you've done to the website, adventure-angling.com. Now, when we talked earlier this week, we're talking with David Dietrich, adventure-angling.com, South Sound Angling Specialist, but you've got some river ops that you're going to be booking for a little later this spring. So talk to us a little bit about that. What's going to come up a little bit later in the spring and summer, David Dietrich?
Well, we have some very high quality selective rivers in our area that are just completely overlooked.
That means that we can't come, Joey. That was an invite in case you were wondering. So.
I'm gonna not talk anything about it. No, I'm just joking. No, but we have some awesome rivers that are within an hour and a half drive on the west side that have healthy populations. I don't want to use the word full because people's fishing definitions of full is very different. But they have healthy populations of nice cutties. And, dude, there are fish around here with big rainbows. When I say big, I mean like 23, 24. That's huge.
Joey, I'm getting the feeling he's not going to tell us what rivers he's fishing. Yeah. He's going to identify the river
around.
Opportunity. Okay, I understand. Okay,
I think you have to call. I think you have to call him.
It's no, tell him Creek.
Yeah, there. Yeah,
just off a finger point.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. All right. Well, when does the river of no name and no return? When do these opportunities present themselves, David Dietrich?
The best time to get a hold of me for river fishing is, I would say, July through October.
Okay. All right.
I mean, that's really when we target, especially September and October. But that's also difficult because the sound is I'll say this about the sound. There is no better time of year than March and April. It is redonky tunk. I mean, as a beach angler, I mean this, and this is a ridiculous thing to say. In one day of fishing on a good day, you might catch the equivalent of 10 years of fishing on the beach. I am not even joking.
And the fact is
silly.
The fact is, this is the most underutilized fishery in the state. I would say that there's nobody doing it.
Nobody.
And it's not just the South Sound. There's North Sound areas that offer this kind of stuff. There's places in Admiralty Inlet. all up and down the whole round, all of Whidbey Island, all of Camano Island shorelines offer something similar to this. You have but to unlock it and learn it for yourself. David Dietrich, we're up against a break. I wish you'd get a little fired up next time before you do an interview, dude. It's like, you know, it's like pulling teeth with you, man.
Well, it's your fault. You called me and talked to me about this. It's not my fault.
That's okay. I'm a terrible fisherman and even worse interviewer. All right. David Dietrich, adventure-angling.com. We'll talk to you soon, buddy. I appreciate it. Keep in touch.
Always awesome, buddy.
Love you guys. You guys are buddy. Amazing.
Hey, David, he's
born so horrible to talk to. Bye.
Coming up next, the hottest report we've heard all week of the techniques you need to succeed is RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really Where? And it's next here on the Outdoor Line, Seattle Sports Station 710, Seattle Sports app.
No way.
You gotta be kidding me.
Really?
Where?
Just coming back from the island of Tin and the Lady.
Where'd you get him, man? No way. You gotta tell me. I'm not gonna tell anybody.
Ocean filled with red.
Hey, man, can you tell me where you got him?
I'll never put on a life jacket again.
Welcome to RoyRobinsonRV.com's Really? Where? RoyRobinsonRV.com will take you anywhere. Really?
It's time to step up to the number one motorcycle dealer in the entire Pacific Northwest, the all-new Roy Robinson RV Center at Smoky Point. You're going to find a complete lineup of Class A's, Class B's, Super C's, travel trailers, fifth wheelers, trailers, pop-ups, campers, and so much more. Sell or consign your RV with us for a smooth transaction and a great deal. Roy Robinson RV, RoyRobinsonRV.com.
Well, just had David on, South Sound on fire for cutthroat.
A little fired up.
And we didn't even get to the coho that are chewing the paint off the bottom of his boat.
Oh, dude, he was, yeah.
He loves his cutthroat, but... There's big fat coho down there too, and if you don't think it's a hoot to hook a 20-inch resident coho on a fly rod, they will tear you up.
And you can keep them, and they're well fed and they're yummy.
Yeah.
So you know, so there's that. You know, if anybody that likes to eat a little fish, you know, and anybody else that likes to eat a little fish may want to take part of what's going on the coast right now. The white fish are blooming. You could say black rockfish. We're talking lingcod on the coast, and it's a nice warm up for 3 weeks from now. We're starting to look at our first halibut opportunities, and we're going to start and cover that fishery here pretty soon too. Because we don't get to fish for halibut a whole bunch, and we've really got a special opportunity this year because of additional days,
early opener, additional days, and I think there's going to be a bunch of halibut out there.
And fresh halibut are stupid good eating. Oh, my goodness.
I know a few guys who've been slipping out of PA and fishing the Canadian side for salmon and running into some halibut incidentally out there. So just, you know, when we hear that this time of year, you know, back when we were able to go fishing like Area 6 and 7 in January, February, March, April.
Yeah, on the banks you'd run into them.
On the years that there were a bunch of halibut in there in like March and April, when we got our opener, they were still there. And so this is a good indicator that there's probably going to be a bunch of halibut around. And that season's going to be upon us here before we know it.
Yeah.
So you better get all your gear, get up to Holiday Sports, get down to Outdoor Emporium, Sport Co., Harbor Marine, get your gear now, get ready, go out and test out all your anchor system, make sure your gear's working right, get your bait. There's plenty of bait in the stores right now to grab, and then let's go get our halibut put up for the season.
And we're going to be doing seminars at the North Sound Marine Expo at Harbor Marine. It's a brand new event, April 15th, so you're going to miss the first halibut opener, but we're basically going to cover a lot of lingcod inside Puget Sound, definitely a lot of shrimp too, but we're going to be there for a while to show you some ways to rig up for halibut that are things you need to know. You know, in Puget Sound, you really want to stay away from circle hooks because of the current and concentrate on J hooks. And my favorite J hook is that Gamakatsu 12-aught Big River bait hook. Mm-hmm. And you tie those up on 150-pound test or 200-pound test. And it's just a bulletproof leader. And then you can slide one of those big, pure fishing saltwater grubs on there, one of the big 8-inchers, and then rubber band a herring to that thing. I mean, it's all about just like successful crabbing, just like successful shrimping, successful halibut fishing you need to armor your bait. You need to put a tough piece of that isn't going to get taken by the first little turd snapper that swims by.
Well, I'd never done, like, seeing your program up in Sitka, you do things a little bit differently because you're fishing deep.
Yeah.
You don't want to run that bait all the way down there and have, you know, some little fish peck at it.
I had a hard time getting guys to crank their gear up from 500 feet to check their worm. I don't know why that is.
But a lot of what you're doing up there, I did that with my Uncle Ray last halibut season, and, you know, rubber banding your bait to whatever, you know, grub or squid or just, like you said, armoring
the bait.
Those big giant squid, pushing those suckers over your bait and protecting it and making sure it's locked on there.
It goes to confidence. If you are confident that you have bait on there, you fish more effectively. Confidence kills fish. Confidence in your location because you've done chart study. Confidence in your bait because you know it's not going to just, you know, there's no doubt. Right? It's going to be there until you really see that gear get hammered. But you know, we'll make up baits in advance too. Because
I want you to show guys the way you run your halibut setup without a spreader bar.
Yeah.
Because you don't need a spreader bar.
I love Bob Buchanan and I love BOMAC and I get it. I understand. But, you know, that's spreader bars. And sometimes spreader bars are fine.
Plenty of guys are going to run spreader bars.
Okay?
Because it's easy and it is a good way to catch halibut.
Right.
But you don't have to.
You don't have to.
And so you could be running your setup on one side of the boat, run a spreader bar on
Absolutely.
The other. You know, you should still have some spreader bars on board for certain situations. They're just nice to have.
I would say this too. The currents you experience in the Straits of Juan de Fuca are far different than what you get offshore.
Yeah.
Because of that, the effect of the straits and everything like that. So we're going to cover a lot of that April 15th, the North Sound Marine Expo. We're going to cover a lot of that on the show. Thanks to our guests. Thanks to Dan Dickerson of SiriusXM jumping on board with us today. Thanks to Kelly Reardon of WDFW and the new R3 initiative. And of course, David Dietrich, man. He always does just a great job. Go get some South Sound cutties. Missed any of the show? Jump on MyNorthWest.com. Download the Apple Podcast app. Hit the Seattle Sports app for more. Give Joey a follow at Joey Pyburn on Instagram, at The Outdoor Line, on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. For Matt Nelson, run on the board. For Joey Pyburn, to my left, I'm Tom Nelson. This has been The Outdoor Line, Seattle Sports Station 710 and the Seattle Sports app.